We are up to Pasuk Zayin. We are in the middle of Pasuk Zayin, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. We did the Rashi's, we did not even the Targum, we discussed an idea yesterday, we left off with the idea of what it means, Yimei Anya Umerudeha. We learned the Pasuk Shad according to Rashi. Rashi says you have to add words into the Pasuk, that Zacha Yerushalayim Yimei Churbana, which caused Yimei Anya Umerudeha. Through the Churban, that brought about difficult times, times of oni, of affliction, poverty, and times of distress. Then we learned the idea of the Targum. We didn't allude to the Targum yet, but we learned the other idea is that, just to remember briefly from yesterday, is that we remember it was not easy to acquire Eretz Yisrael. Acquiring Eretz Yisrael came with a very great price. A lot of blood was spilled in acquiring the land, and that added to the tsar of losing Eretz Yisrael. Had we acquired Eretz Yisrael with ease, then easy come, easy go, the galus may not have been all that difficult. It was the gift, we won the lottery, so we lost the money, no big deal. But being that we only acquired Eretz Yisrael through great suffering, that makes the churban that much more painful. That's what it means in the pasuk, Zachor Yerushalayim, it remembers Yimei Anya Umerudeha, it remembers the difficulty, the tsar, the oni, and the merudeha that went into acquiring the land. And then it remembers Kol Macha Mudecha, all of the good years, after we did achieve, acquire the land, all of the good years, Ashahayu Mimei Kedem, and now, B'nefol HaMob Yatzar, B'nozullah, now that all combines to the very great tsar when we fall in the hand of the enemy and there's no one to come help us. And we also have pain over the fact that our enemies have seen what has happened to us. So Chaku Al Mishpatecha, we learn Rashi to Perushim, is that they rejoiced over the fact that Shavas, you know, in fact, the word Shavas, this word is the first word of the Kinos during the day. In the morning of Tisha B'Av, how does Kinos begin? With the word Shavas. Shavas, I've got Shabbos Kol Masosa. The first kino during the day of the Moshe begins Shabbos. It comes really from this pasuk. Socha Kual Mishbateha. It comes from this pasuk. They took joy over the fact that Shabbos, that all of our success has come to an end, has ceased. Now let's see the Targum. Targum says, Pasuk Zayin, Havas Dechira Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim remembers. What does it remember? It means Yoma Kadmoin. It remembers the good old days. The good old days. Di Havas Miroda, when they lived. Miroda means to dwell. Bichra Kaya Uve Fatsichin. Two different types of cities. There's a Krach, and there are the metropolises, the big cities, and there are the open cities. So we're referring to the krochim and the orei pirozois, the bichra kaya uve patzichin, the two different types of cities that we lived in the good old days, takifin. At that point in time, when Klal Yisrael was takifin, they were mighty. We were a mighty nation. Umordo v'sholto b'chol alma. Very powerful Targum. Targum says that at this point in time, we ruled over the entire world. Eretz Yisrael was the center of the civilized world. Everyone came to Eretz Yisrael for business. They came for advice. They were the leading nation. They were the world power. We ruled this very powerful Targum. B'chol alma, the whole world was ruled by Eretz Yisrael. B'chol rigu gaha means the machamudech, all of the, where the pasuk goes on to say, kol machamudech, all of the delicacies, all of the good things, the havulah min yomo kadmoin, and all of the good things that we possessed in the earlier years. Now all of that is very interesting. All of that is really included in what it says, Zachra Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim remembered all of the good things that we had in the old days. The Targum has obviously added quite a lot into the pasuk. The Al Chovon, the Fal Amo, and due to our sins, the nation has fallen. So the Targum tells exactly who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash: the Nebuchadnezzar, Rashiya, the Nebuchadnezzar Harash destroyed Yerushalayim, the Oek Lohoin, and he exiled. The Oek, we had this pasuk many times. It really means to cause pain. He caused tsar Lohoin to the Jewish people. V'les disiyala chazuha meikaya, and there was no one that. I'm sorry. V'les disiyala. There's no one that came to our assistance when he pained us. Next, chazuha meikaya. Our enemies. Meikaya means our enemies saw that the Ozla Bish Shivya saw that we have gone into exile. Chaychu, and they laughed. The word chaychu means to laugh. They laughed. Al tuvaha difisak mi beinoha. They laughed. They were happy that all of the good that we enjoyed in the past has come to a sudden end. Okay, so this is the Pasha Ketag. Now there are just a few other short things. Number one, Kol Machamudecha, there are various Targumim, and what exactly is the meaning of Machamudecha? We're going to see this word appear a few times in the Sefer, coming up in the next two Fipsukim. But in this Pasha, some want to suggest it means the Zechus Avos. The greatest treasure that Klal Yisrael has is the Zechus Avos, our legacy, our heritage. And in the olden days, whenever we had trouble, we had a problem, all we needed to do was to say, Ribbono shel Olam, remember us, save us in the Zechus, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, as Moshe Rabbeinu did, Zechor li Avraham, li Yitzchak, li Yaakov. That's the ultimate Machmodecha. But when the Churban happened, the Zechus Avos did not save us, did not help us. So that's exactly what we're coming to allude to here. Zechor Yushlam Yimei Anyu Mudecha, we remembered Kol Machmodecha Shohoyu Mimei Kedem. In the past, when we were living in Eretz Yisrael and we had an enemy attack, all we needed to do was to be mispalel, take out our treasure, the avos, to be mispalel, zechor li Avraham, li Yitzchak, li Yaakov, and that would save us. Yeah, that was good, mimei kedem. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not listening to our tefillos, even the zechus avos, the bris avos. Chazal said that tamu zechus avos. The zechus avos have come to an end. We only have bris avos, but bris avos is limited. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Ches, Chet Chata Yerushalayim Al Kein Lenido HaYasa. Yerushalayim has sinned grievously, greatly, and therefore they have become Lenido. Lenido means simply, literally means a woman that is separated from her husband. They now live with her husband. Lenido HaYasa, or Kemi, Lenido means a person who has been pushed away. You have been isolated. Pushed away outside, Kol Mechabdeha, his Zilua, all those who previously honored her now have disgraced her. Ki Ra'u Ervasa, they have seen her nakedness. Gamhi Ne'encha Vatosha Vachar, she sighs and she sits on the sidelines. Rashi Lenida, Ligoila, Rashi does not take the word Lida, meaning literally a Nida, rather means Ligo to go into exile. Lashay Novenod, it means to be a wanderer. We have gone into wandering. Ervasa means kiloina, her shame. Ne'enacha, l'shoin nifala is one of the binyanim. It means that it has come upon us. It has come upon us. Gamhi ne'enacha, she has been overtaken by sorrow. Gamhi ne'enacha, who shame davar. Gam hinenocha shemdover, sorrow has overcome us. Okay, let's see the Targum Pasuk Ches. Targum translates chet chata, the repetition of chet chata, to mean Pasuk Ches choyva rabba. Whenever there is repetition, it means greatness. Choyva rabba chavas Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has sinned greatly. Yerushalayim begin, and because of that, begin came because of their great sins. Betiltul havas kol amaya, and because of this she has wandered. Tiltul means to move about. Nida, he's translating the word nida to mean she has become a wanderer, like Rashi says, novonot. She has wandered. Havas kol amaya, all the nations, the hava miyakwin la milikadmin, all the nations that in the previous years have given her great honor, now nahaguba zilusa have disgraced her. Arum because chazo vit koho. They have seen They have seen her erva. Bit kohol, here in this sefer, I don't know what that word means, he translates it to mean her erva, also her nakedness. Beram hi mis ancha. And therefore, bara means she also is sighs, or is si'as lachara, and she turns backwards. Now, a lot of the commentators take note of the word l'nida, and they echa is very similar to what some of the mafarshim try to do in the toichacha. And the toichacha, even though the simple translation is always negative, but there are hidden blessings inside, in between the lines in the toichacha. I mentioned this a few times that it used to be in Misham Kadmonios Chassidim was a very big thing for Chassidim to go to their Rebbe for parsha for the toichacha. Today Chassidim, they go for Yom Tif. There are certain times they go to the Rebbe, but it used to be the Rebbe used to be the Baal Koreh, or at least was the Baal Koreh, the Baal Kriyah for the Teichacha. And they would all come, it was a very big event to come to the Rebbe for the Teichacha and to listen to the Rebbe read the Teichacha, because the Rebbe had the Koyach to be Mahapech Kilolo Livracha. Each klala, there are hidden blessings. Here as well, even in the klalos, in the harsh things, there are blessings. And one example is, the word nid is a very good example. Case in point, l'nida. What is nida? Is one of the 30 vav arayos. When we started, maybe I'd mentioned, echa is the gematria 36. What is the significance that Sefer Echa begins with the word Echa, which is Begematria 36? It doesn't mean with Ech, but Echa. Because the reason why we went into Galus, we were over on the 36 Chayvei Kresos. 36. Most of the Chayvei Kresos are Arayos, forbidden relations. One of the forbidden relations is a Nida. A man has relations with a Nida, he's Chayev Kares. But a Nida is unlike all of the other forbidden relations in two respects. Number one, it has a heter. Even though today a nida is aser, but after she observes the zayin nikiyim and goes to mikvah, she becomes mutter. Likewise, the pasuk here says that Klal Yisrael has become a nida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, a nida is just a temporary separation. The time will come when Klal Yisrael will once again emerge, will have tahara, will go zayin nikiyim and have tahara and be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's one idea. Another idea, that a nida is different than all the other arayos in respect that there is no prohibition of yichud. All of the lamed vav arayos, you're not allowed to be confined with, even like a brother and sister, even a child and a mother. For long term, there are situations where there's also problems of having yichud, and certainly we're dealing with an eshes ish. So davar pasha, there is a prohibition of yichud. All of the lamed vav arayos are subject to the rules of yichud. One exception, a nida. There is no prohibition of a man to be miyached with his wife when she is a nida. It's permitted. Likewise, in Galus, we are considered to be a nida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That only prevents there to be intimacy, but it does not prevent us from being miyached with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in this harsh expression that Klal Yisrael is a nida, and Rashi and the Targum explained it mean to mean a wanderer, we have wandered from place to place, but also it's interpreted to mean that we are like a nida to a husband, but that has a hidden bracha. There will be tahara, there will be a reunion once again with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even in Galus, we are allowed to have yichud, we're allowed to be together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu during Galus. Okay, now we have another idea, called Mechabdecha Hiziluch, all of those who honored her, they disgraced her, Ki Ra'u Ervasa. What is the deeper meaning of Ki Ra'u Ervasa? So there is a very popular Targum is said in many different places, but I'll read it over here. It's not a Targum, I take it back. It's a Gemara Masechta Yoma on Daf Nun Dal. It's a Targum as well. What does it mean? Kol mechabdecha hizilu ki rohu ervasa. What is the erva? Omar Reish Lakish, Beshash Shenichnesu Nachum Lehechol. They always wondered what exactly is inside the Kodesh HaKodashim. It must have been very, very mysterious. It wasn't like today, where you go online, you can find out anything you want, and all the secrets. The Goyim knew there's a Beis HaMikdash, and he heard that in the Beis HaMikdash there is the Kodesh, and there is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kodesh HaKadoshim is closed behind the door. On the Bayis Rishon there was a door, the Bayis Shem there was no door, and it was locked at night, at least the Hegel was locked, and it's a curtain, and the Kohen Gadol only goes there, Lefnayim VeLefnim, once a year. So we know what's behind. We have the Torah. We know what's there. But the Goyim, they did not exactly understand what exactly. Even Torah Shebichsav was not necessarily well known by the Goyim in Shonim Kadmonios. They were curious what exactly is hiding behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And at the time of the Chumbeis HaMikdash, the Goyim, they went in and they saw the Kruvim. The Kruvim technically is a Pesel. Lo Yelcha, Lo Saselcha, Pesel. You may not make a graven image. It's an image of a creature, of a kruv. What is a kruv? A malach, a child, some type of mysterious creature. It has the tzur of what would appear to be an Avodah Zarah. This during the time when Avodah Zarah was a very great Yetzirah. So for the Goyim, they related to this. When they go to the Kodesh HaKadosh, they saw the kruvim, they said, oh, look at this. The Jews are just like us. Secretly, behind closed doors, they worship idols. That's what the Gemara Masechet Yoma says, B'shash Tavusu, Nachem Lehechol, Ro Kruvim they saw the kruvim. Not only did they saw the kruvim, there was a zohar and a keva, and the zohar and the keva were embracing one another. So it's almost like arayos. It's basically a combination of avodah zara and gili arayos. It's a dogma of a gili arayos. They were shocked. These Jews who promote, who tell us that they're holy, they don't only worship Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they have tznius, they have separate seating, separate sidewalks, all these extreme chumras, and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim they're worshiping idols, and they have images of things which are not proper.
And they killed Zechariah.
Murder. They killed Zechariah in the Beis HaMikdash also. Avodah are all three. Avodah Gilei Arayos, Shechastam, Avodah Zarah. So, Ro HaKruvim HaMa'orin Zebozeh. So what did they do? They took it out and they made a parade. They took it out into the street and they displayed it and they said, Hotzil Lashuk, when they said, Yisrael Halalu, Shabir Chasad, Baruch Uklas and Klala. For some reason they focused on the fact that their Baruch, their blessing is a blessing and their curse is a curse. Ya'asku Badvarim Halalu, Miyad Hizilum, they disgraced them, Shenemar Kol Mechabdecha Hizilu Kiro Ervasa. So this, in the Pasuk, the Kruvim, it's a very fascinating medrash, the Kruvim is described as the Erva of Klal Yisrael, Kav Yachal. The Erva represents to some degree the greatest kedusha in the person, because it's in that makom where the makom of creation, the Ribbono Shel Olam is called the Yotzer. He is the creator. Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech. A person is also created B'Tzelem Elokim in the dogma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The erva of both the Zohar and the Nekeva are the kelim of Yitzira. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's main midah is that he's a creator, that obviously means that the erva represents the highest form of kedusha. Of course, after the chet eitz hadas, so we don't understand. We can't even deal with it. We can't deal with kedusha, so it has to be covered, and it has to be distanced, and everything has to be. We have to be very careful. But theoretically, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blueprint of creation, it represents the highest form of Kedusha. Likewise, the Kruvim represent the highest form of Kedusha. It represents the Chibur between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, but it's the most misunderstood. Just like the Erva is truly Davar Shebe Kedusha, the highest sum of Kedusha, but it is the most misunderstood because we don't have the Kalim, the Koach, to deal with this Davar Shebe Kedusha. The Kruvim parallel that concept as well. The Kruvim represent the highest sum of Kedusha, the Chibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, but the Umos HaOlam don't understand it, they don't relate to it, because it looks like a Pesel, it looks like Gilei Arayos, and therefore they call it the Erva. And there's something to it. No, we do not. But at least we can theoretically understand it. We don't understand it at any shape or form. But the example I just gave you, the parallel of the body. There is the erva. The erva, do we understand the erva? No, it's kula taiva. It has to be controlled. But yet it represents the highest form of kedusha. The proof is a woman goes to mikvah, a woman, there's an entire preparation period by when it comes to this week's parasha, tzitzis, from Isam, Zachayim, Loisa, Sudu, Achrei Levav, Achrei Nechem, Devar, Devar Shabbat Kedusha. But yet it represents kula taiva. How do you draw? Where do you draw the line? Zeluma zebar lokem. The kruvim is exactly the same thing. It's the highest kedusha. It's the kodesh hakodashim where the shechina is resting, and yet it's the most misunderstood because of the tsur of a pesel and gili arayas and the goyim his ziluha kiru ervasa. And this in truth is really the mashal for what galus is all about. What is galus? Galus is where the goyim they really don't understand us. They don't understand Klal Yisrael. They don't understand the Kedushim. Everything we do to them is just a form of entertainment. The New York Times, someone I read it somewhere, is that the editor, they have a policy, they want at least once a week to have an article or something in the New York Times about Orthodox Jews.
Usually on Shabbos.
Because Orthodox Jews are just very strange creatures. They're very. What are these people that walk around? They wear wigs. They have these strings hanging out. They don't work on Shabbos. They don't work on Pesach. Kosher food. We're very strange to them. They have no understanding. They wear everything about us is very strange. Think about it. It's how do you explain when you work with someone who's not Jewish? You try to explain to them. They're like clueless. They have no understanding, and it's a mockery.
But many of them are respectful.
They're respectful. Yes, there is some are respectful, but some are respectful. Some are. But it's a form of entertainment. It's not, and this is what Golos is all about. When the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it's described here with this pasuk. They came in to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. The completion of the destruction, or the essence of the destruction, was going into the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, taking out the Kruvim, and parading them in the street. Look what we have captured. And look at these Jews. Look what they do behind closed doors. They worship idols, and they engage in Gili Arayos. What are you talking about? The Kruvim know what the Kruvim represents. You know what they are, and you don't understand. You totally missed the boat. That is exactly what Golus is all about. The Goyim, exactly. We don't know how to explain it to them, and they certainly don't want to understand. They don't know. They're not listening. They're not receptive to our explanation, and we also fail from eloquence. Now, Israel, well acknowledged that one of the big problems they have is public relations. They have public relations. They're always suffering with public relations problems to express themselves eloquently, their policies, and they're not, what may appear to be harsh in the rest of the world is really rachamim gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. And there is, that's all part of the curse. That's part of the curse of Golos. And it's rooted in this pasuk of Ki ro'u ervasa kol mechabdeho hiziluha ki ro'u ervasa. All of the nations of the world, which at one point in time had great respect for Klal Yisrael, they lost it. And when they look at us, what is truly Kodesh Kodashim in their eyes is the erva, is something detestable, is kula taiva, is something lowly. They just don't get it, and we suffer from this, and there's no way out of this until the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. Okay, gam hinen, yeah?
I don't understand how it's Israeli Israelis don't have a way of expressing it.
Right, that's what we're saying. That's something that they try very hard. Netanyahu is very eloquent. Do you ever see some of the old videos of him? There's a very famous video when he was 28 years old. 28 years old, and he was arguing with a politician. It was in a stadium. There's no one that can match his eloquence.
Abba Ibn.
Okay, so
the guy that succeeded Abba Ibn in the
Rudy. But even with all of the eloquence and all of the goyim, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. I worked with some people years ago, even recently. They just don't understand. It's just like a big mystery. They don't want to understand. And really, this is what it says here in the Pasuk. Let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk. Let me just make sure I didn't forget anything. Okay, so we did the need. Right. Next pasuk test. Tumasa bishuleha. Her tuma, the impurity is on her hems. Loi zochra acharisa. She refused to remember her end. Okay, we'll see what this means in one moment. Bateret piloim. She sunk. She sunk to the lowest depth. Plum wondrously, in oifen mufla. When Klal Yisrael, the higher you go, the lower you fall. Unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, there are statistics. There's more picursus in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else in the entire world. Yeah, it's true. They recently read an article because Eretz Yisrael is a land of holiness. This is what the higher you go, the more you are roy, dead. Dead meat attracts flies. A human body, it attracts even more rodents and flies. Why? Because anything which has life, which has kedusha, when it falls from its glory, the higher you start out, the lower you go. Likewise, Eretz Yisrael, there's a yearning for Kedusha. And when there's a failure in achieving that Kedusha, unfortunately it goes to the other extreme. Eretz Yisrael, there was a recent report, I saw this online, it's the most secular country in the world. Shocking. Isn't that shocking to say such a thing? Shocking.
Show that they're not
if you're not going to be religious, the religious is not more than 20% in Eretz Yisrael.
No, that's very religious, but the
traditional.
I would argue that traditional, as evidenced by what is renovation.
Okay. Shabbos, there's no public transportation, Yom Kippur, and Achnami. Yeah,
they said also Sedarim and Pesach Seder.
Everyone has a say. Everyone. Okay, so okay. I don't want to say Chas v'Shalom Lashon on Eretz Yisrael. Okay, in a Chanami.
You know. But the Jewish Alliance. If you go to Haifa on Shabbos, Haifa, Tel Aviv.
But
Tel Aviv is not as big as Haifa.
It's a very small.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I take it back. I chas shalom to say Moitzi Laz on Eretz Hakodesh. Chas shalom. But the pasuk here says
say that they don't run the country, but it's a small group. Okay,
in a chanam. Okay, in a chanam.
It's a natural group because even with the what you were saying about the mikdash, about the Kruvin, Menashe was there first.
People are tradition.
We had our own.
Menashe was the one who put it there.
Huh?
Menashe was the one who put it. Amoin brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Amoin, Menashe's son, brought. Menashe only brought an Avodah Zarah into the Heichal. His son outdid his father. He brought Avodah Zarah into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he brought his mother in there,
right,
and was Mezana with his mother in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
So he already degraded it. So
he went to the extreme. Amoin was the son of Menashe. Okay, so the Pasuk here says, Vaterid Pilam. Okay, this pasuk, you can't deny what it says in the pasuk. Vaterid Pilam. The word Pela means a wonder. Klal Yisrael, when they sink, when they rise up, they rise up to the highest heights. When they sink to the lowest depth. Vaterid Pilam. They sunk wondrously. Ein Menachem Lo, there was no one that is capable of giving her comfort, giving Klal Yisrael comfort. Now, here we begin a very new theme. Here, for the very first time in Sefer Eichos, we are the Mechaber, Yirmiyah, is being Mevakesh, is making requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Re'ei Hashem Eson Yi, Hashem, please, I'm begging Abakasha, see my affliction, Ki Higdilo Yev, the enemy has become great. Let's take a look at Rashi, Pasuk test, Tumasabish Bishuleha. Her impurity is on the hems of her garment. Lashon again. What does that mean? The impurity is on the hems of her garment. We'll explain. So Rashi explains. Lashon ginayu dam nidoisa. The blood of her impurity. So seemingly Rashi is shifting. Rashi, the previous pasuk, told us the one that says lenida hayasa. It doesn't mean literally a nida. It means a wanderer. Here, I don't know why Rashi seems to be saying that we're dealing with a nida, a woman who is impure, and the blood represents her impurity. Blood, what?
even Rashi says, "Kolomar hatosel galuyin." It's also a sort of
since. Metaphor. Okay, it's a metaphor. But in the previous Rashi, Rashi just says lenido legoila, an exile. Lashay novinod. He didn't make any attempt to say the word nida means a woman who's a nida as a metaphor. He just says we're wandering, we're a wanderer.
Also, that word could mean
excommunicated, okay, fine. But the Rashi says novinah, the wanderer. Here Rashi says to Masabishubishubishulecha, Lashon Ginai, who dam nidoisa, the blood of her impurity, Nikar Bishule Bigodecha appears on the hems of her garment, Kaloimar Chatoisecha, Giluyin, her sins are revealed. Now the blood of a nida has much greater symbolic meaning. When a woman is a nida, what does that really mean? This is a very frightening idea. A nida means failure. The blood, when a woman becomes a nida, means that she failed to conceive. There was an opportunity. There was an opportunity taking place in her body where she was roi. There was potential to conceive and to be a yoitzar, to create a new human being, and that resulted in failure. If she would have conceived, she would not be needed this month. That egg would have developed into a fetus. So this failure, blood of a nida, the reason, according to Chazal, it represents Torah, because blood of a nida represents failure, a failure. Now, there's no one in this world that's perfect. Everyone has shortcomings. But no one puts on their resume all of their failures. No one puts on the resume all the times they try to get a job and they were denied. You put on your resume your successes. And even if you try to Google a person's failures, you'll find some things, but you're not going to find every failure you have in your life. Here the pasuk says tumasa. It's a very powerful metaphor. Tumasa bishulecha klal Yisrael among the umos olam is viewed as a failure, and the failure is obvious to all. Look at these pathetic people. Look at what they could have accomplished, what they could have done, and look at how great their failure is. Loshon ginayu, dam nido isod, the blood of her nida, the dam which represents failure, nika bishule bigodecha, klemar chatoisecha giluyim, her sins are revealed. Harbe asa osan bigolu, they have done many sins in public, that absolutely no shame for their sins. Loizachar achari, so what does that mean? They did not remember her end. Kishahoyu choitin, when they sinned, they did not pay attention to the consequences. Lo Nosnu le, they did not pay attention. Matia acharisam, what the end would be, what the punishment would be for their sins. Therefore, vateret peloyim, when you don't pay attention to the consequences, you sink wondrously. Yiridasam niflaos peloyim, their fall is a wondrous. Two words, yiridasam niflaos peloyim. Two words which mean the same thing, is a wondrous descent. Harbe, very much. Shakol Pleim Pleim. Pleim, Shakol Pleim. Everyone is, in a state of amazement. She'era lo mash le'era l'cholir. Everyone is in a state of wonder. Everyone wonders. Everyone is in a state of shock. That happened to them what happened to no one else. There is no precedent. There is no nation in the world that has suffered to a degree like the Jewish people. She'era lo mashalei era l'choli. What has happened to it has not happened to any other city in the world. Okay, so let's first see the Targum. Targum pasuk tes. So avus. So avus means filth. Okay, so avus tam richuka'a. The filth, or the word soavus also means tumah, means the impurity of the blood of rihuka'a, of her nida. Rihuka means the banishment, which is the translation for nida. Bishipula'a is on the hems of her garment. Kama. La idkias mina, she did not. Now, idkias means pure. Idkias means tahara. Targum over here is saying, there is no lo idkias mina v'los os al chova'a. There is no purity to her, and there is no charata. Charata means
no attempt at purifying.
Lo idkias mina v'los soha al chova'a, and there is no soha. Soha means regret. remorse. There is no remorse al chova for her sins. There's fine. V'lo dechiras. Furthermore, she did not remember. Ma da'asid lemeisei aloha b'sof yomayo. She did not pay attention. What would happen to her at the end of days if she would follow this path? And therefore, what was the consequence of having no remorse, of having no there was no purity, no remorse, no attempt to pay attention to what would happen? The consequences were unechosas, she fell, unefolas, another word which means the same exact thing, she fell and fell, vahavas, perishon, and she was perishon, separated from the rest of the world. The less demalel tanchumin lo, and no one was able to speak words of comfort to her. Chazeh Hashem. Now we go to the end of the pasuk where Yirmiyah is mevakesh. He makes a request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazeh Hashem. See Hashem. See my suffering. Usehei mistakel arum, and pay close attention arum. So that is Rav Olai Be'el Devava. And look, that Rav means has become great upon me. Be'el means upon me. Devava, my enemies. Devava means to quarrel. My enemies have become very powerful. They have become very great upon me. And here we mevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us. Okay, a few short things. Number one, Tumasa. We translate Tumasa Bishulecha. Bishulecha means honor him. So Rashi translates means it's begolui. It's on the outside. She's wearing filthy, dirty clothing. And you can see on her clothing the blood of her nida, which is symbolic of her failure, of her impurity, of her filth. Other commentators, I believe the Medrash says Bishulecha means inside, in the hems, which means the Tumah is concealed. Okay, Shulecha, when the Gemara talks about that, when the Kohen Gadol, when the Gizbar went into the Lishka to remove the coins, the Machzis HaShekel, to purchase Korbanos, he had to go into the chamber with a special garment that did not have a hem. Because if you have a hem, there's a concern he may conceal some money in the fold of the hem. So when we say the word Bishulecha, that has a connotation that there is a pocket, there is a fold, and in the fold there is potential to conceal something. The pasuk here then means, and just the opposite of what Rashi in the Targum says, is that the sins are hidden. The sins are hidden inside the folds. And what are we referring specifically to the time of, well, there are different interpretations, but let's learn from the Bayis Sheni. What's the difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni? The Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Rishon was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Tamim. The sins were exposed. The sins were out in the open. That had a silver lining. Hashem said, since your sins are in the open, your Golus will also be exposed. It will only be for exactly 7 years. The Bayis Sheni, the sins were hidden. Sinas chinam. When you meet your friend in the street, you say, hello, how are you? Nice to see you. And in your heart, I can't wait until you drop dead. Right? In your heart, you have this built up hatred. Sinas chinam.
Or at least the cause isn't obvious.
Therefore, Mida Kineged, Mida Hashem says, you want to have hatred, the hidden hatred? So the hatred or the punishment will also be hidden. You're not going to know when Mashiach will come. There will be no prophecy that will reveal when the Geula will come so that you can properly prepare. So it will be a very great advantage. We don't appreciate this. If we knew when Mashiach would come with absolute certainty, even if it's not in our lifetimes, let's say we knew it would be in 100 years, it would be in 50 years. It doesn't matter. We would be able to prepare. When you go to work and you make your 401k, and when you send your children to yeshiva and you prepare parnasa, you can plan. Let's see. We know Mashiach is coming in 80 years. Okay, so if I have children now, what? I'll go to my financial advisor and we'll make a plan for exactly what's going, because when Mashiach comes, we don't have to worry. Everything's going to change. Melech HaMashiach is going to be a whole new world order. it's going to be a whole different, you're in an entirely different frame of mind if you can properly prepare for Mashiach, even if it's not going to be in your lifetime. What?
That's not what we would do. We would coast if we knew.
Okay, fine, we would coast, but it would be different.
But at the same
time, it would be different. It would be an entirely different approach to life.
We wouldn't appreciate, we wouldn't anticipate in the same way if we thought it was not going to be in our lifetime.
No.
So you're saying Zelumazes, since it can come immediately, so you're saying that's an advantage.
Yes.
It's true. Yeah.
Rav Samka said that's one of the biggest blessings that we have.
But we don't know.
Otherwise, we would have never been able to...
The Miyayish. If we would have only known that it would be 2,000 years from now, from the one after the Churban, people would have given up. They would have given up. And in fact, that's why some of the Gedolim show that when they predicted Mashiach's coming in this particular year, they did it because in order to be Mechazek, the Tzibur, they should not be Miyayish. Okay, so it's a two-way street. Okay. But there is, let's focus on the Maila. There is definitely a Maila and a Chesaron. Everything in this world is gray. There's Mailas and Chesaronis in everything that we do. So if we would have known when Mashiach would come, to some degree we'd be able to plan, anticipate differently. So part of the Tsar is we do not know. It's not set. Mida keneged mida. So that's what this pasuk here means, according to one of the commentators, Zolos Tumasa Bishuleha. Because the tuma, the sins, were done secretly, it was hidden between the folds. That's why Lo Zochra Acharisa. It was not made known. It was not made known. Zoch will loosely translate to remember. So remember means it was not made known to Klal Yisrael when the end will be, when the Gula. No mention of the Geula. In the first Galus, it was mentioned after 70 years. They had a problem. They didn't know how to calculate 70 years. Okay, but at least it said 70 years. Because why? Because the sins were not Bishulecha. The sins were out in the open. But this pasuk is an allusion to the Churban Bayis Sheni, where the sins were in secret. Therefore, Lezach Acharisa, we do not know when the Geula will come. This is one interpretation of Bishulecha. That's also in the time of the Bayis Rishon as well. We know that at the time of Yoshiyahu, this is one of the major kinois on Tishrei, the time of Yoshiyahu, Yoshiyahu was, 22 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. Yoshiyahu, he turned around Klal Yisrael to such a degree that he felt that Mashiach was going to come, and that's why he did not let Paro and Necho go through the land. They wanted to go to war war. Where was the war? In Megiddoi. They wanted, Paro Necho wanted to travel to Megiddo, and it says in the pasuk in the brachos of Cherev leSavar biArtzechem, he did not let him pass through the land. That was the mistake. What was the mistake? And Yeshua felt that the whole Klal Yisrael were holding at the times of Mashiach. They did tshuva. He did not realize that secretly, behind closed doors, they were doing Avodah Zarah. When the inspectors came into your home to see if you had Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah was etched into the door. Half of that was on one door, and when you open up the door, you can't see. So the inspectors came in, they came in with open doors. They never closed the door when the inspector was in the house, so the inspectors were not able to see the Avodah Zarah. So the sins were hidden. And due to the fact that it was hidden, that's why Lo Zochra Acharisa, well, that doesn't work well for the first Bayis Rishon, but the idea does allude to the Bayis Sheni. Now this just goes off the topic a little bit, but the word Pela is a very, very interesting word in Chazal. Pela is the letters of Aleph. Aleph, how do you spell Aleph?
Aleph
Lamed Pei. That is Pela. Pela backwards. So it's Zelumazeh Aleph. What is Aleph? Alufoy Shel Olam. Aleph is only one Aleph. Echad Miodea. Echad ani yodea, echad elokeinu shebashamayim uva'aretz. When Klal Yisrael rejects the Aleph, you want to reject me? I will punish you with the Aleph. Aleph is Pela. Your punishment will be wondrous. It's Vatered. You rejected the Ribbono Shel Olam. You worship Avodah Zarah. So too Vatered Piloim. The punishment is Midik Negemid. Is also you are punished with the Aleph, which is Osios Pela. Okay, Ein Menachem Law. There is no comfort. Okay, so this we explain. Let's go to the next pasuk. One other thing I want to point out. This is an interesting idea. The lowest part of the body. What is considered in halach in chazal, the lowest part of the body? The erva. We mentioned this before. The erva, this is the part of the body that it's taiva. And this is called the shipulecha, the lowest spiritual. It's the highest spiritual part of the body, as we explained. It's the kelim of creation. But if we don't control it, if it's on, it's left, if it's left without any shmira, any kiddusha, it can become what's the shipulecha, the lowest part of the body. So the Midrash is something very shocking. It says that the kohanim during the time of the bayis did not bother having a bris milah. Can you imagine that the kohanim, the people offering korbanos, they brought korbanos without a bris milah? Amar Rabbi Berechi, it's a shocking medrash. Eicha Rabba.
First
Rishon. Tzidkiyo, first bais. Bais Rishon. What? Pesach, right? Pesach, right? Baluch. Is it the only problem? I don't know. Let me read you the medrash.
Doing the avoda.
Is there such a halach? You allowed to do the avoda without a bris milah?
I don't think so.
You're not allowed to. Is it din deraisa? Say, let's read what's over here. Ma'u tuma. What is in tuma bishulecha? Amar Berechia b'shem Rabbi Yala bar Kahana. Kol oisam hakohanim sheshim should make tzidkia. Okay, that's the end, tail end. Tzidkia was the last king. Tzidkiyahu arelim hayu. So medrash eicham, eicham rabba, shocking medrash. They were arelim, and it's based upon this pasuk. Arelim are you? Hadohu d'chsev. How can you say such a thing? This is what it says in the pasuk. He quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel. That's one pasuk where it says the beferish b'aviachem b'nei nechar arelei vasar. And Yecheskel makes mention of this as well. By the way, we have to also discuss, you know, Yecheskel and Yirmiyah. Yecheskel and Yirmiyah, there are parallels. Yecheskel, he lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Yirmiyah was primarily saying I'm saying the other way around. Yecheskel was saying Zul and Golas, the Sukha Golas, and Yirmiyah was in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a very important thing when you look at the Eicha, and you look at Yirmiyah, there's a lot of parallels, Eicha and Yecheskel. It's two different perspectives of the same Tkufan time. Yecheskel and Yirmiyah lived at exactly the same point in time. Yirmiyah was an insider. He was the Kohen. According to the Targum, we said he was the Kohen Gadol. He saw the Churban from the inside. Yirmiyah saw the Churban from the inside. Yecheskel saw the Churban from the outside. He went to Golis with the Choresh v'Hamasker 11 years before. We'd be going back and forth. We have to figure out exactly. But his Nevuah was primarily focused from the outside. Outside. So it was a different perspective viewing the same.
Was in Bavu Yirmiyah when he went to Chutzlaut, it was to Mitzrayim.
To Mitzrayim. That was after the Churban. Yirmiyah went. Yeah.
That was the son of Yirmiyah.
Okay. So even if he was a son, but it's a view. You know, you ask the person, where is this? Where is the shul? It's to your right. Yeah. Where is the shul or this location to your left? How could it possibly be right? It all depends where you stand. If you're standing over here, so then it's to your right. If you're standing over here, at least my left, it's to your left. All depends where you stand. It's two very different perspectives of exactly the same event, live. Okay, they were both streaming live. Yirmiyah and Yecheskel. Unlike, you see, it's very interesting. Yeshaya was not streaming live. Yeshaya was telling you about the future. Everything Yeshaya wrote, not everything, but by and large, what Yeshaya wrote, he was 220 years before the Churban Bayis. And much of what he said, Derech Pshat, is what's going to be in 220 years from now. So it's a perspective of the future. It's a whole different type of Nevuah. And a lot of the Treyasa, many of the Treyasa, not all of them, also are focusing on the future. Yirmiyah and Yecheskel, Sefer Yirmiyah. Sefer Yirmiyah is a very easy Sefer. It reads very much like Sefer Melachim. But Yirmiyah wrote also in the Megillas Eicha, which is a little bit a whole different approach. And Yecheskel, which is a very unique type of Sefer, they're not talking about the future. They're talking a lot of things. They're talking about it. I mean, there are things, sections about the future as well. But a lot of what they're saying is current, which is happening right now. facts on the ground. But yet, there's a very fascinating look when you compare one to the other. One is focusing from the outside, one is focusing from the inside. So here we quote a pasuk from Yechezkel, and then we quote a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Whenever you have a medrash that's telling you a concept, and the medrash is telling you, I'll prove it to you, and I'll tell you a pasuk from Yechezkel, and we'll tell you a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, you gotta stop and wait a minute. That's a mouthful, because they're describing the same exact event from different perspectives, from the outside and the inside. And here, this medrash is exactly that. What?
It's Yechezkel, it's not...
Right, Yechezkel, and it's Yirmiyahu.
Where is it in
Yom? And Dover Acher, Tumasa Bishuleha. Oh, you don't have that part? Okay, that's what I have. I have Eicha Ra Perek Aleph Lamed Vav.
This pasuk.
The pasuk. Let me read the whole thing. Omar Reb Brechia b'Shem Rabbi Yehuda Kahana. Kol Oisam Akoyanim Shushim Shubim Eitz Tikiyo Harilim Hoyu. How do I know this? Two psukim. One pasuk from Yechezkel and one pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Two psukim. First, the pasuk from Yechezkel. Hadohu D'Chsev. V'haviyachem b'nei Nechar. Foreigners. Who are the foreigners? The Kohanim. They're strange people, the Kohanim. Why are they strange? Two problems. Number one, Arlei Lev. They have an uncircumcised heart. Number two, the Arlei Vosar. Uncircumcised flesh.
No, they didn't. The
okay, that's all I have here. Let me go. Liyois b'migdashi. L'chaloloi espesi. Period. Yecheskel mem dalet zayin. Davor acher. You don't have that? Okay. Davor acher. Another pasuk. This pasuk. That's why I'm quoting this. So we're quoting over here. Davor acher. Tumosa bishuleha. Her impurity is on her hems. And what does that mean? Ma'inin zelze tumosa bishuleha. The hem of your body. What is the hem of a person's body? The orla. The orla. That's called the tip. The tip of the body. It's not the sole of the foot. Make believe a person would walk on all fours. Like an animal. If you go down, the shulecha, the tip of the body is called... What? Are you sitting? Okay, well, the legs will go down, whatever it is. But tumasa b'shulecha, the tumah is still present. So we have here two psukim, and it's a shocking thing that they did not bother to circumcise themselves during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Why that? I mean, I know it's hard to understand. It's hard. Everything is hard to understand, but that's certainly hard to understand. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud, Yodai Paras Tsar. His hand was extended by the enemy. The enemy extended his hand. Al macha madecha upon its al kol macha madecha on all of its treasures, all of the treasures and the delicacies, the delights of Klal Yisrael. Wakiro asa goyim bohu migdasha. The goyim, the nations of the world saw that the enemy came into its holy place, asher tzivi sa, which was commanded, lo yavoi vakohol, may not come, vakoholoch, may not come in your assembly. Now, what exactly does this pasuk? Let's see right away. It's much more detailed than we think. Who is the tsar? Who are we referring specifically to in this pasuk? According to Rashi, Amoin Umayav. Amon and Moav are the ones who extended their hand. I'll call Macha Madeha. What is that? Sifrei Torahs. Shenemar Bohem Hanechamod. Why is a Sefer Torah called Kol Macha Madeha? A delight, a delicacy. Hanechamodim Mizahav. It's more precious than gold. Umipozrof. So since it says in Talmud that Torah is called more precious, called Hamachamadim, Hanechemodim Yizov, it's a code. Obviously, what they have to say, this is according to Rashi, we're learning a very big chiddush, is that Yirmiyahu is borrowing from David. Well, obviously, Yirmiyahu, he came 410 years after David, right? He came, David was right before, was before the Bayis Rishon, and Yirmiyahu as the time of the Churban is the Bayis Rishon, so they're 410 years apart, and Yirmiyahu here is, when he's writing this pasuk, he is borrowing, everything is of course like Ruach HaKodesh, but he is borrowing from a pasuk in Tehillim, where David said, Kol Hanechamadim Mizami Mizav, Hakol So that's what the pasuk of here means. They went and they stretched out their hand against every sefer Torah they can get their hands upon. Hakol nifnu lavoyz kesev izav. So here the pasuk tells all the other enemies of the world, all the goyim who attacked the Beis Hamikdash, the only thing they were interested in was money, was the kesef and the zahav. Hakol nifnu lavoyz to despoil kesef vizahav, the haim. But the nation of Amon Umov, Yodoi Parasar, Nifnim al Sifrei Tyros, Kidei Lissarfam, to burn it. Why? Lefi Shekosov Bohem, it says in the Torah, Lo Yovai Amoini Umovi Bekahal Hashem. Asher Tzivisi Lo Yovai Bekahaloch, I have given you the commanded Bekahaloch Elu Amon Umov. So now, according to Rashi, we can go back and read and understand the pasuk on a much, much deeper level. Yodoi Paras Tsar, Al Kol Machamadeha. The enemy here refers specifically to Amon Umayyaf. They extended their hand to go search out every Sefer Torah to burn it, to destroy it. When did they do this? They did this kiras going bo mikdashah. When they had an opportunity, when the gates were open, when all the nations of the world entered into the Beis Hamikdash to destroy, to plunder the gold and the silver and all the treasures. They were not interested in gold and silver. They were interested in going attacking the Sefer Torah. They went to the Kodesh HaKadosh and there they found the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. If there was still there, whatever they made up in Geniza, whatever it was, but they found all the Sefer Torah and they burnt it. Why? Now we go back and the pasuk explains, because they were insulted. Asher tzivisa, I have given the command in the Torah, lo yavo b'kahaloch, you may not enter into my assembly. So here they took advantage for their insult. They took advantage of the insult that they may not come into Klal Yisrael. Now this is an amazing pasuk because it reveals us that the nations of the world, they weren't so insulted at the ideology of Klal Yisrael. Why not? It's a psychological machshava. Because if we want to be Jews, we can also be Jews. We also have an opportunity. No one's holding us back. Anyone that wants to be Megayer, go for it. So the truth is, the Torah, the Beis Hamikdash, Klal Yisrael is available for everyone. Equal opportunity. We are an equal opportunity nation. Religion. Equal opportunity religion. There is no discrimination in Klal Yisrael, except for those who we discriminate against. Who do we discriminate against? Amon Umov. Why? Pasuk says. You don't have to apologize what it says in the Torah, Lo Yavi Amon Umov Kala Shemesh Elo Kidim Eschem Alachim Umayim. They bad midos. Kidim Alachim Umayim. So therefore, they were shut out. That's the way the mind works. You only have a taiva for something that you're not allowed to have. If you forbidden fruits, that's the way it is. So
you can actually say even more that the reason that they went to the world to destroy all the Sefer Torah is because they really wanted to be accepted.
Exactly. Exactly. Because we're not allowed to be accepted, we're going to show you that we are accepted. At the time when they're destroying Klal Yisrael,
but they actually wanted to be Megayer. And that's why...
Right. The forbidden fruit. This is what they're showing. What you tell us we can't do is what Badaf we want to do. The other nations of the world couldn't care less about the Torah. Oh, there's a Torah. Yeah, there's a Torah. We're not interested in religion. Because if we really wanted that, we can have that without. We want the money. Parnasa. We want the money, the gold, the silver. That's what we want. We're not interested. They bedavka went for the, Torah, because that's the forbidden fruit. Okay, now there's another very deep meaning over here in this pasuk. The meaning over here is lo yovei amoni mavikal Hashem means it really refers to Mashiach. It means that the reset button. When they are destroying the Beis Hamikdash, in the back of their minds, is that, okay, it's only temporary, the bias will be hard, but ultimately the bias will one day be rebuilt. Where is Mashiach going to come from? Lo yavoi amoini umayavi bekahal Hashem. Amoini v'loi amoinis, mayav v'loi mayavis. In the pasuk that discriminates against Amon Umayav, also, we just spent a few weeks learning Sefer Rus, also alludes to the fact that Rus Hamoavia is allowed to come into Klal Yisrael, and David HaMelech is the Melech HaMashiach, and is legitimate. So here, when they are destroying the Beis Hamikdash, David Melech Yisrael was the first king, and the second, Shaul and David, when it says here, Yodoi poras soral kol machamadecha. Thus, simply, according to the Medrash, means they took out a knife and they cut it out. Or Rashi, they burnt it. They burnt the pasuk that says lo yovei amoni mavik Hashem. No, that's not what it means. They took a red magic marker, a highlighter. They came into the Beis Hamishkan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with those yellow highlighters, and they highlighted the pasuk lo yovei amoni umayovi bikahal Hashem. David, your king for the last 410 years is illegitimate. He comes from Moav. Shlomo HaMelech's wife, Naama, she's illegitimate. She's illegitimate. Therefore, this whole nation is illegitimate. That's what they did.
What are you doing today?
And therefore, not only was it illegitimate for the past, you think your Melech HaMashiach is going to be Mashiach ben David? Mashiach ben David is also illegitimate. It doesn't say here in the pasuk they burnt the pasuk lo yavi. In the I am panim l'Torah. Pashup shad the way Rashi the Midrashim tell us one mahalach is kirasa goyim bo midasha. When they saw, you have to read the pasuk. You have to read the words out of order, like we always do. You read the words out of order. Kirasa goyim bo midasha. When Amon Moav saw that the nations are the gates are open, now we're going to go yodai poras sarsa Amon. They went in and they spread their hand to destroy the Sefer Torah that said, "Lo yavei b'kahal lach, take revenge." That's pashup shot. But on a deeper level, it means all the nations of the world attacked the Sefer Torah. Yodai parash tsar al kol machamadecha. The tsar means the umos ha'olam. They came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They extended their hands upon the Sefer Torah. Kiraasa goyim. When did they do this? Kiraasa goyim. I haven't figured out how to read the pasuk. But kiraasa goyim bo midasha asher tzivi. So what exactly did they extend their hands upon? They extended their hands upon the pasuk in the Torah that says lo yavohu bekahal loch. To make a statement, look what it says in your Torah. Lo yavoy amoni umavi bekahal Hashem. They extended their hands and they highlighted it. And therefore, who's your king? Who are all these descendants of you that you have? A whole line of Malchus, all these kings all the way down, all descendants of David, who come from Rus HaMoavia. What kind of you're in violation? This is not a legitimate nation. And you think you're going to have a Mashiach that's one day going to come and redeem you? Malchus, Mashiach ben David? They're all illegitimate. That is what the pasuk here is telling us according to this alternate interpretation. Now let's see the Targum. Targum, finish up with the Targum. Pasuk Yud in the Targum. Let me find it. Yidei Oishit Nebuchadnezzar Rishi'ah. Okay, so the Targum is very, likes to embellish, put some names, name dropping. It's always good to do some name dropping. Nebuchadnezzar, the Rishiyah, the wicked one, he extended his hand with Shalaf Saifa, and he took a sword. This mamish, the one of the keynotes of Tisha B'Av, the Shalaf Saifa Ukita, and he caught Kol Riguga, all of the Machmadeha, the Machamadecha means all of the delightful things. Nebuchadnezzar, that was not Nebuchadnezzar, that was Nebuzardan, who stuck the sword into the Poreches and the blood came out. But here it says that Nebuchadnezzar, we have to know exactly what this means. Nebuchadnezzar, he extended his sword and he stabbed all of the delightful things. Af kinishta the Yisrael Shiryas Li Laila, and Knesses Yisrael began to cry. Gam kinishta shiryas means hechmi. He translates it here to mean that they began li ya la means to wail. Arum, when did they wail? When did they wail? Chazas amamin nuchrein alu leves mukdesho, when they saw the nations of the world enter the Beis HaMikdash, di fakedas, the nations which were commanded al yedo de Moshe Neviyah, that was commanded to Moshe Rabbeinu al amoy nemoyov de lo yitkun lemeyal bekol dilach, when they saw the nations that Moshe Rabbeinu has written in the Torah, may not enter into nation. I obviously, there's a lot of depth in these targumim. Fortunately, I'm very limited what I know when I'm available to decipher. But I mean, every word here in the targum obviously are great secrets. Why are we mentioning Moshe Rabbeinu? What exactly does it refer to Nebuchadnezzar? Where do we find in our Chazal? I have no clue that Nebuchadnezzar stabbed all of the delightful things. Nebuchadnezzar was paras yot tsar. Who is the tsar? According to Targum, Nebuchadnezzar. Kol machamadecha. What's the machamadecha? This Targum is not like Rashi. Rashi says the Sefer Torah. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Tehillim. Targum does not say a siddurah. Targum just says riguga. What is riguga? It's just a translation for machmat, something which is delightful. And then at the end of the pasuk it says, Asher tzivisa, who commanded? Moshe Rabbeinu. Since when do we have to say that every single pasuk in the Torah was for Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, that's obvious, self-understood. Hashem gave us the Torah. Moshe was the one who transmitted the Torah. So why does Targum have to add this point of detail? I have no idea. But maybe at some point when we go through the Sefer, we'll come across some more things to understand this. Okay, we'll stop here.